So there's
Well, we're broadcasting to YouTube. This is probably the most embarrassing thing we've ever done on the Bigfoot Show.
I think it's great.
I think it's horrible. When I listen to podcasts where they do this, I just want to stab myself in the ears.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there's a trick. It's called editing. And you can actually take out anything of this sort, you know, the embarrassing stuff.
All right, so here's what we're going to do.
Then we don't have a show.
You're listening. Okay, shut up, Scott. Ready? We're gonna pretend like none of this happened. We're pretending like we're starting from scratch, okay? You're listening to Bigfoot Show, episode number 65. Today is January the 31st, 2015. Tomorrow's the Super Bowl in the United States of America. Yeah. Come on, Scott. Who's your... Oh, so we had someone on the show ask Bigfoot's favorite team. I think the answer is pretty obvious. What do you guys think? Who's Bigfoot rooting for?
Probably the Seahawks from the Pacific Northwest. They eat Seahawks for snacks, don't they, Sasquatch? And that doesn't the Tlaxcala tribe say that?
Seth, what do you think?
I don't. Who's in the Super Bowl?
Nice. You win.
I wanted the Patriots, but I'll be honest, the Deflategate thing, even though it's been overblown, I think it's pretty obvious.
Overblown. I see what you did there.
It's actually underblown. And we all know how painful that can be. But I think it's pretty obvious Brady knows what the hell. I think they had somebody do that. It's probably commonly done, but kind of liked him. And this is like, what, their third cheating incident. So I like the Seahawks, too. Yeah. I was kind of pulling for the Patriots, but now I'm back to the Seahawks. Mm. Let's go to a clip.
Come on, Seth.
I just don't follow sports enough, but I did watch the Seahawks game where they got into the Super Bowl, and I was very excited that they won, just because everyone in the room with me was rooting for the Packers, so I automatically started rooting for the Seahawks and became the enemy.
That was a great game.
Yeah. I'm from I'm in Minnesota, so that means there's a large number of Packer fans, very, very close. And they're awful people, all of them. And so I was really happy when the Packers lost. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I'm a hater.
Brett Favre, he's still around, right?
Yes, no. But he's selling.
Well, he's not dead.
Okay. I just wondered if his life
he's not playing
was over.
He's growing soybeans and having inappropriate relations with his chickens. That's what I read.
That sounds about right, actually.
I'm pretty sure if anybody would give him a chance, he'd totally play, but he's not playing right now. No.
No. God. No.
Let's start with the Bigfoot crap. You guys see the skunk video?
You know, you really gotta tone down the enthusiasm today, Brian. You are out of control.
I am in just about the worst possible mood to be doing this right now because I'm doing this. It's very sort of meta. You know, the reason I'm in a bad mood is because I'm doing this. And I know there's like 42 people sitting on that YouTube channel just like refreshing the page or whatever, waiting for us to show up. And
but,
we're not going to.
But I thought you said there was a second YouTube page. Or there isn't. The other one.
Well, there is. But again, I posted the link. They got to go find it. And maybe they will.
Did you post the link? On the Bigfoot Show page?
On the Bigfoot Show page.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Did you guys see this skunk ape video? The guy was in his canoe and he's cruising along and he thinks he sees a bear and it turns out to be some bipedal thing messing in the water.
Mm.
I did, and it was not your run-of-the-mill, like, obviously guy in a suit. I did something about the tone of it. It didn't – I don't know. I would put this in the interesting – yet maybe probable, not actually Bigfoot. But it's certainly better than, you know, the one where Sasquatch has a top hat on and is carrying a briefcase.
I agree. Seth, what did you think?
I didn't care. I mean, I was watching it. And I just, I got to be honest. When I see these videos, I get sent links almost automatically every time there's some video online, and I always watch them and just automatically think, well, that's completely obtuse. I can't tell what's in that video. I mean, it could be
it's
a hunter,
not a bear.
How do you know? You know,
it's
maybe
not,
it's
clearly
a, it could be.
It's bipedal. It's covered in hair. It's either a guy in a suit or it's
one of those bears that they teach to tap dance.
You just said it could be a bear. All right.
Yeah.
No, yeah. But the thing also, the thing that's interesting at the beginning of that video, I think, is when the film subject is bringing water up, apparently, to its mouth, like it's back and it's doing that. Never seen that in like kind of faked. And it, I thought the motion was pretty good as far as potentially being actual. And I don't know. I like that there wasn't any of the typical when the fake, oh, my God, what the hell is it? Oh, God.
Right. Well, and actually, quiet. A lot of people that I know are complaining because he kept like moving around in his boat and making noise and wasn't being real sneaky. And then the thing didn't sort of like jump up and run away as soon as he did. But so, again, I go back to the story. I go back to the story. The story is he thought it was a bear, so he's probably not going to be super sneaky. You don't want to sneak up on a bear. That's like the worst possible thing you could do. Mm-hmm. So he's not being really quiet. And as soon as he makes kind of a big noise in the boat, the figure, whatever it is, reacts. So I mean, I think that it seems. I think I completely agree with Scott. This could be a first. This could be a first. Episode 65, and maybe we've got something where Scott and I are in 100% agreement. But
we agree on a lot of stuff. This is two areas: the kill, no kill, and PGF.
Can we talk about both of those things? No. Well,
hold on. I want to finish this. If you're going to be a bad,
Seth just wants to see his fight. He's trying to gain dominance of a Bigfoot podcast market share. That's
just like how gorillas
wants.
Do it. Yeah. He gets us to take each other out, and then he steps in.
Exactly.
Anyway, I agree with you, though. I mean, it's a video, so the best it's ever going to be is interesting because no one's going to go back to that spot. No one's going to do any analysis. No one's going to do any recreation. I don't even know. The guy's on YouTube, right? So who the hell is he? Maybe it's a great video. Maybe it's awesome. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean anything because it's just a video. But I totally agree with you. I do not think that is obviously a fake. It may be a fake.
Yeah,
I don't think it's obviously
a fake. That's
a
good way to put it.
And Seth doesn't care. So far having him on the show has been really awesome. He's like, I don't know. I don't give a shit.
Oh, and by the way, I went to that link again that you put on the Bigfoot show, and we're still not up.
It's the wrong link, Scott.
I went to the links. Oh, wait.
It's at the bottom.
Is.
It's in
so
the comment.
Did either of you see the Thinker Thunker Buffalo Bigfoot, the Bigfoots watching the Buffalo video that just went up? In the last like 2 days, maybe just today.
No.
Did anyone? Okay.
No.
All no. Right, see, well. you have to tell us about this in advance.
I just noticed it 5 minutes before the disaster that was the beginning of this very show started.
No, I haven't seen that though. Thinker Thunker, Thinker Thunker. We'll just talk about Thinker Thunker. Sometimes I dig what he does. Other times I think that I'm not super digging what he does.
He's putting too much of a load on himself. I think he's kind of funny. He's a pretty good editor, but then he's like, now he's looking at it as an industry. And so there's stuff in there. It's like, well, pretty obviously fake. And he's given it like some credence when it's pretty obvious. It doesn't seem to deserve any.
Yeah. I think it's great that someone's out there trying to, analyze these things as much as possible, but I just prefer Phil Pauling. Myself. I'm a Phil Pauling man.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
That's pair breakdown.
Is Thinker Thunker, do you think he's making money on YouTube? I mean, how many hits is he getting per video?
I don't know.
This is something to analyze.
I'm gonna have to think or thunk about that.
It's possible. I mean, there's a lot of people making money on YouTube now, so it's entirely possible he is.
Well, that's what I'm curious. If he's
revenue and
Right. The more videos he's uploading, is he making more money? And if he's coming down in the positive on videos, is he getting more hits on those videos? And then what does that
mean? The only people we can trust and believe in are those who are making no money whatsoever. That's not true. But
unless they're blind, literally blind.
I'm not saying he's like hoaxing or whatever. No, I just am curious as to how that influences someone. I think
The question of his motives is a fair one. I think it's hard. I mean, I have no idea how much money he's making off his videos, and I don't know. I think you need like a lot of views.
I think you need millions.
Yeah, to make it really worth anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Sort of like Amazon Associates, like you put a link up on your blog and like one guy clicks on it and they owe you a check for 27 cents for the next 5 years.
Right. Well, I think with this video, we just all became multimillionaires. So
Probably.
Now our credibility is called into question.
We actually have three viewers. About $30,000 right. for the wasted.
It's a good thing they don't charge for this shit.
Jeez.
It's beyond me why anybody even listens or watches this show.
No, it's okay. Look, there's my dog. When I get a take, there's Charlie in the background.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie.
What do you think about the Thinker Thunker?
He just fell sound asleep.
Yeah, yeah. It's about the average public response to that.
Okay.
Biscardi?
Biscardi's IPO. Now, this article, I thought you posted it to the fact that it was you, Scott, who posted this to our Facebook page.
Yes.
Facebook.com/TheBigfootShow. I thought it was unfair.
Yes. I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
you say it.
Yeah, no. And you know what? I should have mentioned that when I posted it. I just saw it, and I was just – my brain started enraging when seeing Biscardi and IPO in the same sentence. So I actually didn't know when I hit the link to share it, I didn't know that it would be Meldrum, but I should have commented about it. It did mention in the article about Meldrum's the Falcon project, which I think has a different set of problems than Biscardi. But just the fact that here's this guy where you have all of this really strong evidence that he's just a flim-flam man. You may actually believe there is a Bigfoot, but I mean, just the litany of shit he has pulled over the years. It's our duty here at the Bigfoot Show, along with special guest Seed Breedlove, to make sure that this asswipe doesn't get a fucking dime. Is that okay to?
No, I don't think it is. But as long as everyone understands, those are your opinions. And
dude, no, I feel pretty strongly about that.
I know you do.
I think he's pretty scummy.
But why do you think the Wall Street Journal decided to put a picture of Meldrum in? I mean, and so they did talk about the Falcon Project, and I totally agree. I mean, and now I've got some actual, like, practical experience trying to use drones.
Right, right.
So I completely understand how totally flawed the concept of the Falcon Project is.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It seemed odd that they would use his photo unless they know that he's a much more recognizable figure in the field.
Yes.
Than Biscardi, because I think people don't even know what Biscardi looks like, I think.
And there's also that potential problem, although it is the Wall Street Journal, that so many, I think, writers in the past look at the Bigfoot phenomena just so initially skeptically. Maybe the guy didn't even do his research. Oh, who's that? I don't know. That's one of the guys, you know, blah, 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 blah. And didn't even think in those terms that since the thrust of the article was about Biscardi, by putting Meldrum up there, that it would be kind of unfair. As you say. So, I think it was the last show we did. We were talking about Meldrum and how it's kind of, I mean, there's always been a degree of sadness, I think, about Jeff in the sense that he had this streak pretty clearly demonstrated of gullibility early in his, I mean, he was just, if something appeared, he was going on board with it. And he seemed to be why he wanted to be part of this Bigfoot phenomenon that he felt there was some legitimacy to. And that I agree with him. I think, I know Brian and I agree with Steph. I don't know where you are on this, but that this is a valid field of inquiry. But he also saw, I think, maybe dollar signs, maybe, hey, I got to get on this now. I am an anthropology professor. There's nobody speaking out. So he gets a little overzealous, perhaps kind of like maybe what Thinker Thunker's doing now with everything, you know, and just starts promoting almost in a way kind of that moneymaker, but moneymaker is a little, you know, way more hyperbolic about it. He believes it's true. So we're just going to throw as much mud against the, whatever sticks. Doesn't matter if the claims are dubious, but maybe even though it sounds dubious, it might have some validity to it. So can I make any sense on that?
Yeah, you made sense.
Biscardi's selling. What are these shares going for? Isn't it like it's something crazy? It's like 12 cents or something absurd, right?
I think we should call Biscardi's IPU.
God. Maybe if you buy into Biscardi thinking that he's a promoter, that you're buying into a sort of Bigfoot promotion company. Right, mm-hmm. And you're not actually trying to capture a Bigfoot. If he says that in his IPO, then I mean, then you've got all kinds of like actual regulatory. I mean, he'd go to prison for.
That's what I'm saying. He's really opening himself up. But the thing that was interesting about it is it's something like 100 $1,000, some insane percentage like that of the $3 million he's trying to raise is actually going toward actively looking for Bigfoot. The rest is going toward making movies and selling DVDs about $100,000 expeditions.
Right. So he's not. What you're buying into is you're investing in this production company, in this mm-hmm. promotion company. You're not really buying into. It's like when someone, if you want to invest in Animal Planet, which you can't because it's not a thing you can invest in. You could invest, I guess, in Discovery because they're the parent company. But you're investing in this unit that makes TV shows that just happen to do things like look for Bigfoot. But you're not actually investing in looking for Bigfoot because who God's name would do that? That's crazy.
Mm.
And maybe that's how he gets around it. Maybe he's like, look, I never said I was going to find Bigfoot. I just said I was going to look for him. And along the way, we're going to make a couple of movies and, you know, a DVD and some websites and whatever. And maybe that's how he gets around it.
This is the Todd Standing approach to Bigfooting, where it's like, I'm going to raise $900,000 for my short film about finding Bigfoot without ever finding Bigfoot.
Without actually having to bother with the finding part. Right.
Right. I mean, it'll probably be a $2 million joint venture where they're running around in their backyard down in Sarasota, Florida, or wherever.
It could
he lives.
Be a team effort. I mean, Standing versus Biscardi. I mean, that's.
I'd pay to see that.
Hey, Seth, you make films. This should be the next film. You should have two characters that are obviously Todd Standing and Biscardi, and you get a avid believer, like an honest guy who's been living in the backwoods trying, and then he sees these hucksters, and he kidnaps both of them. And he puts them in a room and subjects them to like waterboarding and all these like incredibly torturous things to get them to confess that they're full of shit.
It's the Bigfoot version of swimming with sharks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean Shark Tank?
No, swimming. It's this old 90s movie that had like Kevin Spacey and some other dude. Oh. And there's this brutal torture scene where Kevin Spacey gets his tongue paper cut and then lemon juice dumped on his. It's just it's great. Great movie.
Just be the karmic provider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually it's funny because we've been kicking around ideas for some sort of fictional movie, and I would love to see a movie about Bigfoot or Bigfooting that is different from just kids being chased through the woods by a homicidal maniac Bigfoot. Something that explores hoaxing would be really fascinating, I think.
Also, and in relation to like an actual pot grower, I think that would be a real pot grower who has actually encountered these things, but because of what he does, although as time goes on, that's getting less taboo-ish, but he doesn't want to reveal that he's caught one taking stuff out of his grove. So it becomes an issue of whether, is it a real Bigfoot? Is it a rival grower just trying to scare me out of here? Mm-hmm. Oh, it would be mysterious.
Breaking Bigfoot.
Breaking Bigfoot. Exactly.
There we go.
All right. I do want to, you know, getting back to Meldrum and the Falcon Project, you guys want to talk about drones? Because I use a drone.
Yeah.
I do.
So here's my problem. You can't see anything. You know, it just comes down to that. I've flown it now in the summer, and I've flown it in the winter. I was just down there flying around the Ouachitas with the drone, and all the leaves are down, and so like theoretically you should be able to see all kinds of stuff. But I was at one point I was flying, and I wasn't 100 feet. I was below 100 feet, and I was flying over some guys that I was with, and one of the guys was dressed in sort of a fatigue coloring, you know, not like total camoed out, but he was dressed in sort of greens and grays and things like that. And he wasn't moving. And I flew right over him and had no idea he was there. I didn't even know he was there when I looked at the high-res video that I was recording later on. I couldn't see him. All I could see was the hat he was wearing. If he had not been wearing that hat, if he had been anything like the color of the ground, he would have been completely invisible.
Now,
so, and that's with no leaves on the trees.
Yeah. What wouldn't you think a man with a PhD?
Meldrum, you would think. Is?
Yeah. So this legitimately brings up the question. Maybe he has realized that, but boy, that's not going to stop me from raising some money and using my name to do whatever he does with the money.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's kind of stupid, isn't it? I mean, who are they even PhDs out to these days? The guy, I mean, he you look at his writing. He's a really good writer. He's a smart guy. He's basically a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I go back to the theory that this guy was like raised in an – he must have been raised in an environment where nobody ever lied to him. He never saw a prank I mean, maybe it's a good argument for the Mormon religion.
Is so that, are you saying like, that practical jokes are very, very successful against Jeff?
That what is?
Practical jokes. And every time he's like, oh, you got me again. You got me again.
So gullible. And then,
how many bags of flaming dog crap?
Oh, no, it's another bag of dog crap.
It's the 47th time.
You kids.
But open it up. There could be some Sasquatch hair in there. Mixed in with the fecal matter. He's got five kids, right? He's like, I don't know how many kids he has.
I don't know. I mean, somebody told me, and I haven't heard him say this, but, I just forgot his name. Who's the guy, who used to have the Bigfoot mobile with the cameras and
Dranguinness.
Yeah. Dranguinness.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He said on a podcast that what he thought people should do with their drones is actually use it, fly it into the Sasquatch. So you could like chop it up with the blades and like collect DNA and blood. And, again, I would say that sounds really interesting on paper, but have you ever flown a drone? I mean, I don't know how. Like, okay, I'm trying to imagine this. I'm buzzing along, and I'm probably 80 feet in the air at least because the trees are that high, so I have to be above the trees clearly. I can't be looking down at the ground with my drone and flying below the top of the trees. That's going to be a very short flight. And then you see a Bigfoot, and then you're supposed to like swoop down.
Wait, was he serious?
Yes, this is okay. I have not heard him say it, but I have been told that this was his application for drone technology. You're going to, and I will preface it. I have not heard him say it. Yeah. I was told this is what he said, and I was not told that he was joking. It's impossible. It's impossible. I don't know that I could do that from a distance of 8. Like, I don't know if I could hit any kind of moving target like this.
Can you imagine the video footage?
Well, that's the other thing. He's saying you're going to have video footage of it hitting the creature, and then you take the blades off and have all the blood and gore, and I guess, you know, maybe he's...
I just had this image of him as Carl Spackler blade. From Caddyshack in a thing like sharpening the blades. Coming for you. No, it's just a little sparrow who has a very
I could be maligning what he said, but I can't believe that would be serious.
It's kind of kooky, but dude, we talked about this on the last show. Drone. I honestly think that drone technology, not at this point in time, maybe within 10 years, as smaller, tinier drones become more affordable, or if you get a group that has enough money, access to like, you know, B-side wasp-sized drones where you literally have hundreds of these things.
Well, they have the first like bird-sized drone. I just saw a small bird-sized drone.
What's that one called? Z something.
I just saw it online the other day.
What are they going for?
They're like a couple hundred bucks, $300, something like that. But again, we don't know what the battery. It's always batteries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the batteries aren't going to, that thing's going to have an itty bitty little tiny battery and
double A.
Yeah, it won't stay up very long. Not even that big is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
It won't be able to stay up very long.
But I think you've got to get to the point where you've got enough that are doing sector scans. I mean, like, did you see the movie Prometheus?
No.
Really. So imagine that they set this thing out. That's 200 or 300 years in the future, but it goes in and it maps out where it goes. Mm-hmm. If using drones, small drones, and you had, let's say, a 10 square mile area, history of sightings, maybe a recent sighting.
I hear you. Yeah.
And you have this other thing, send them out. And if there's anything that's bigger than a pregnant raccoon that's alive in that zone, it would see it. Now, that doesn't mean there wasn't one just on the outside, but I think that is a way that would go. So I think we should start right now, announce our Kickstarter.
Yeah. We would need $1 trillion because we have to invent an entirely new power source. But
What about little solar panels on that? Can't that keep those things going? You could.
Well, so here's – I've seen guys try to do that. The problem is that where you would put the solar panels on top of the drone is where you have things like your GPS receiver. So if you block the GPS receiver, it doesn't work anymore.
And then plus, ideally, where you're looking is under the canopy, and the sunlight's not really getting in there anyway.
The thing that you need – even if you had so there's a new drone that's just come out, and I'm almost positive we talked about this on the last show. But if you had thermal ability to see thermal, you'd at least know that there was an animal down there when you wouldn't be able to visually pick it up, and so you theoretically could fly at night. But again, you're going through the trees. Chances are you're just going to see a big hot thing, and that could be an elk. It could be a deer. It could be
Can anyone even explain to me the Falcon Project? Because there's like ground troops, right? I mean, he's on
–
William
so
Barnes
we're gonna
is online like enlisting – his army of
The theory is that you're going to see it from the sky, and then you're going to send people over there to interact with it in some way. Because now,
like a blimp, isn't it? Like a little blimp.
Yeah, so it theoretically could stay up a lot longer if it's using if it's like a blimp and not like a quadcopter.
Does the blimp drop missiles or anything?
No. Well,
but it
no,
has a
because...
little midget running it with a pet, with an eye patch on.
He's up
and
there
he
like
swearing down at the forest. You bastard! I'm gonna get you.
That's how it actually flies. There's a little guy like pedaling.
Yeah. Just pedaling. Yeah.
That solves the solar issue.
It does. You have a little person.
I'm sorry. I know this is I'm interrupting the show or whatever, and it's video. But there's a horde of children.
I saw them. I saw them.
I'm sorry. Covered in hair. Behind.
I don't know. Yeah, there was like 50 kids that just walked in front of my house.
That's crazy.
Well, it's Saturday, and I live in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, so I think they were all coming back from temple.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
At 2 in the afternoon. That's probably what it was.
Cool. Those are my people then.
Yeah, and you'll see, especially many today, being the Sabbath, you'll see many more of them walking around.
Okay.
Someone told me that the Falcon Project also was supposed to have some sort of like methane detector or some sort of like gaseous detector so that it would know that there was a living creature down below, which again, are we building the Starship Enterprise? I don't understand how this is going to work. You know, so it's outgassing, it's breathing. You're going to pick up its what? I don't understand. Then you're going to be up in the sky with your blimp, and it's somehow you're going to detect that there's an animal like respirating down on the ground, and then you're going to send people over to get it as if it's just going to sit there.
Yeah,
and wait.
Even if you spotted it exactly in the terrains where these things probably live, let's say the north.
Yeah.
Northwest corner of California, for example. I've been there several times.
Or
Oklahoma.
Mountains of Oklahoma.
Sure.
You're not going to be able to chase after it.
Yeah.
It's
like... I'm sure those are not drunken hillbillies that have inbred for several years. Anyway, I don't know, but I'm 50-50 on the whole thing because I trust your opinion, but I can't accept
it. Oh, did you change subjects?
No, I just didn't want you to feel like I was dissing
you
Oklahoma.
You
because
yeah, you just did. I heard you.
I just let's go to a clip.
There's no clip that will.
There's no clip. Okay, I was socially awkward moment.
So I don't know what's going on with the Falcon Project. I don't know what's going on with Biscardi's IPO. The whole thing just seems crazy, and it's yet another.
Let me just voice one more thing though about the Falcon Project. At least I will say at least that they're trying to explore something other than going out and getting some awful, you know, random video footage or gather another track cast. I mean, I think it's at least interesting that they're somewhat thinking outside of the box. I just don't feel like it's been thought through. I still don't get the army of Bigfoot hunters on the ground thing.
You'd have to have Navy SEAL. I mean, to have even a chance of something like that, like Navy SEAL athletic quality guys. Let's say if you picked up an image and it was clearly Black Beetle, and you could deduce from the image that it wasn't a suit, approximate size, as Brian alluded to before. Okay, where is your base center? Let's say you're a mile and a half from there. Mm-hmm. You then have to do some kind of like tiger circle thing. You would to have a legitimate chance, I think you would have to have at least 100 people. Because if there's 20 feet in between, these things are, as people describe them, it would just run right in between. Unless they, of course, are out there to murderously kill one. With a grenade.
What else are you going to do? You're going to like pin it to the ground?
Yes.
For someone with a syringe to show up?
Yes.
I don't think that's what you do.
You tranquilize it, talk to it for a while, have it sign some
sort of
release papers.
We need a Squatch Whisperer. It's okay. We just need some of your hair and maybe
that's
a
Biscardi.
Fingernail.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be weird if he actually is the guy who discovers what? That would be the biggest irony in the history of man.
Just pee in this cup, would you please?
Can you get DNA from urine?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
I don't know.
Let me check.
There we go. Next. I'm looking at the show notes. Did you guys see the story about the chimps that are communicating about stuff?
Yes,
that was really interesting, wasn't it?
That was cool. That was cool because Brian, I think you and I, after we recorded an episode of Sasquatch, a podcast about Bigfoot, after we recorded that, you and I talked off mic about communication, like Bigfoot communication, and I think I played you the talker tape and that kind of stuff. And automatically, this made me think of that kind of weird language that some people claim to hear.
The faux speech, yeah, the samurai chatter.
Yeah, it automatically made me think of that.
I didn't read the article. Can you guys? Is it that it's human sounding?
No, The chimps are using chimp speak, chimp sounds. You know, they talk, and talk is in quotes because they aren't actually talking, but they right.
talking.
but they it says that the study is the first of its kind. Is the first to find that information about tree size and available fruit amounts are included in chimp calls, in addition to assessment about food quality. So you can get grapes over there, and they're not bad. They're kind of off, but you can get them. But over here, there's apples, and they're really awesome. That kind of stuff is what chimps are saying to each other, quote unquote. But you know, there was I can't remember because this is the Bigfoot show, and I don't need to source anything. I can just say stuff and say that I heard it somewhere, and you'll all believe me. Mm-hmm. But there was the guy that was he was in the jungles of South America. And was studying bird calls and knew that there was a bird call that was like the jaguar bird call. And he heard a bird use the jaguar bird call. And so he got kind of freaked out because there was a jaguar around him. But I don't think – maybe this is the first time in chimps, but other animals have sounds that mean things like that is what I'm saying, I guess.
Yeah, I don't understand what's – like people always seem to be amazed. These animals actually communicate with – well, of course they do. I think it goes back to this – I mean, we discover the evidence, but I think the intuitive aspect of it is, of course, they.
So here, I'll read from the story. The study is the first to find that information about tree size is what I just said. This is quoting one of the people in the study. Chimpanzees definitely have a very complex communication system that includes a variety of vocalizations, but also facial expressions and gestures. How much it resembles human language is still a matter of debate, but at the very least, researchers show that chimpanzees use vocalizations in a sophisticated manner, taking into account their social and environmental surroundings. They spent over 750 hours, observing chimps and analyzing their food calls in the Ivory Coast's Thai forest. The Wild Chimpanzee Foundation in West Africa is working hard to try and protect this population of chimps. The researchers found that their higher-pitched calls were produced when the chimps encountered fruits from nauclea trees. Smaller trees elicited still higher-pitched calls, while calls associated with bigger trees with more fruit were lower in pitch. Hmm. In short, the chimps seemed to talk, quote unquote, a lot about nauclea fruit.
Kind of makes sense. Lower tone, bigger fruit.
I don't know. You know? Chimp logic.
How many math problems are they working on?
Apparently any, like, they yes, if you they can do simple mathematics. Algebra is outside. No, it doesn't say anything about that. No.
Okay.
It doesn't say anything about that. They can balance your checkbook. That's all you really need to do. That's all, as long as you can do that. That's interesting, chimps. I mean, but you know, they got big brains. They're smart.
Yeah. Robots. They can fit. Now we know what. But now we higher primates can fish. And then what was the study a few years ago, maybe even longer, where they found evidence that they'll use like sticks or leaves to point in a certain direction where a nest is. Like they leave indicators, which of course some Bigfooters took it. See, that could be, you know, a parallel in Sasquatchery with the old twisted. Right. Tops of
twisted grass. So. Yeah, it does seem odd, though, that this is a story.
yeah, I don't.
Because
it's not surprising to you.
Well, I mean, all animals communicate. This is like pretty well known. So I thought it was cool because I was obviously relating it to Bigfootery, but I don't know.
Well, it was interesting because it came out shortly after this other story about the faux speech, the orangutan learning to produce human-like sounds that were not speech. It was just this orangutan that was in captivity that was mimicking the sounds of humans in order to get attention and food.
That was the one I thought you were referencing.
Yeah, no. So the chimps were actually communicating concepts to one another,
right,
with their sounds. But this orangutan was making human-like, you know, sort of vowel-y kind of sounds. And you can listen on the page that we linked to from our Facebook site. It sounds really creepy, and it sounds not unlike some things that we've heard in the forest. But it's sort of like just a mishmash of what us talking might sound like if you had no idea we were actually saying something.
Sounds a little like my Uncle Dave.
Yeah,
I guess I'm just a little. Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm a little jealous because I communicate, you know, with people too, and they're not writing articles about me. That's
no. Well, and you are covered in hair.
From what I can tell.
This is a video call. Oh, I think we're wearing the same glasses, by the way.
They're slightly different. I'm noticing something on this. Yours are a little more bold over here. Mine are like a thinner. Yeah.
All right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's the most interesting thing we've talked about all day. Scott, are you wearing contacts? I mean, clearly you're old. You must have some sort of corrective vision thing.
No, I don't. Why? I'm 12 inches away from the screen.
All right. So now, this orangutan thing. Let's get into that a little bit. It's Tilda, a female orangutan currently living in a German zoo. She would rather not wait to receive attention and started producing human-like vocalizations in order to be noticed by her keepers. That makes Tilda the first known wild-born orangutan to produce novel calls similar to those made by humans. Furthermore, her intriguing ability may help us understand more about the evolutionary origins of language. She was captured in the Borneo 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. This is not a new orangutan. She's about 52 years old, it says. Yeah, she does all kinds of human-like things that they've never observed in the wild. And clearly, she does iron. Yes. Yeah. Betting on major sports events.
That's weird. See? They're not that much different from
she's
us.
She's in there. The iron.
Patriots. Oh, banana.
Starch.
The starch in bananas and used in ironing.
So anyway, if you go to the link on our Facebook page and then follow the links there to the source, you'll actually hear her talk. And it's like, blah, blah, blah. It's really kind of freaky sounding.
Weird.
But again, not unlike what people are describing when they say they've heard what in this community they call samurai chatter, this faux speech sound. And other people in this community say is actual language.
And other people in this community say it's representative of the ninth dimension from which they come.
Yes. It's like that's a Johnny Carson thing.
That's actually me.
That's right.
You know who Johnny – you're not too young that you don't know who Johnny Carson is, right, Seth?
I mean, I've heard the name.
Oh, my God.
I can't tell
you. How old are you?
He's 12.
I just – my back just went out that you said, I think I've heard of Johnny – who is that?
I mean, I know the name. Do you guys know of Arsenio Hall? Do you remember
him? Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Bill Clinton played the saxophone on a show once.
Yeah. It's the best thing ever on that show.
So I'm going to read something to you guys. I just did the statistics on the probability that Matilda's DNA would match her appearance if she was totally human.
This is actually proof that some orangutans are smarter than some humans, which you're about to read.
This is how I did it. 0.005 or 0.5% may carry red hair. Roughly half the population is female and 0% of the population carry the gene that gives. I'm not even actually seeing this whole thing. She does math to prove ultimately.
We're talking about Melba, for those who may not know that. Melba Ketchum, who shares my birthday. So she
carry the gene that gives her the black tongue. So I used the population of people on Earth because I couldn't use zero without the stats being zero. So then I multiplied the three numbers for the combined probability. So 0.005 times 0.5 times 1.4 to the minus 10. And it roughly equals 3.509 to the minus 13. So the probability of a random human sample having these physical characteristics is 3.51 times 10 minus 13. Note the minus 13 should be a superscript, but it won't let me do that here. So these results were generated before I saw the videos. So since it is greater than the population on Earth, that makes it identity. Now, this would not work for Sasquatch statistically since they have a higher percentage of red hair. But remember, people are saying this video is a fake. It's not a fake, folks. Math.
Science just proved it.
Science in your face.
Right there. If any, I mean, if
3.51 times 10 minus 13. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, you're like a guy who goes up to the window of an insane asylum. There's a woman inside, and you keep going, hey, Melba,
I've been ignoring everything she says, but that was just so classic. It was a perfect distillation of her madness.
She and I honestly think anybody who takes her seriously is also batshit crazy. There's no one. Just like people on street corners going, yes. I know Melba, but she's got the rhino and the combo of the chimps. The Rhino chip people are coming. She said it. It's the math. It's there. Do you have a chip quarter?
because we're friends on Facebook, I get to see the people who she friends, and they're always thanking her for friending her. Like, oh, thanks for the friendship. Thanks for the ad. You know, stuff like that. Like, why would you? Anyway.
Yeah.
It hurts my feelings. She hasn't added me.
You should just.
She can't operate a computer, dude. She's spending time scribbling this stuff down and gives it to a bald Belgian man who then types it into the computer for her. Then she soils herself and goes to bed.
You know, I hate to drag out the word crazy too often, but are you aware of a man on Facebook by the name of Ed Waterman?
No, I've not. I don't think I'm friends with Ed.
Okay.
Waterman.
You need to look up some Ed Waterman photos. Okay. This is a guy who goes out and takes. It's got a similar following to Melba.
Oh yeah, he's got. He's friends. I have one other mutual friend with him besides Melba.
Takes a lot of photos of tree stumps and says they're camouflaged Bigfoots. Yeah. So I just would like to know what you guys think of that stuff. So maybe on the next show, you know, after you've had some time to really explore the crazy side, that you can talk to that.
Does it, from what you've seen of it, does it seem like a guy who's clearly, I mean, kind of like Backyard was, Eric Backyard?
Yes.
This kind of, you know, I don't want to bandy about psychosis, but a kind of psychotic paradelia where it's just.
Waterman has talked about seeing Bigfoots raping small children all sorts of stuff. So there's some creepy unsettling things going on there too.
So I see he's posted these things on Facebook and the comments are LMAO. Really? This one guy says don't see shit.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So there's and this led to the formation of one of my favorite Facebook groups, which is dead stumps that look like Bigfoot, I think it's called. You should look that one up.
But there's a lot of them that do. That's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mean to drag us down that rabbit hole.
No.
I just was curious if anyone had any prior encounters with him.
I this is sort of the unanswerable question, but does Bigfoot attract crazy people or does it make crazy people? Because some of them start out normal and they turn crazy, and then some of them just sort of arrive.
It depends on the person. Yeah,
it's both. It's both.
Does it help
I just had this conversation.
Crazy unearth? I mean, I don't understand.
I just had this conversation the other day with my friend Brandon because we were both talking about it. Because there are perfectly rational, sane human beings. Who are into the subject. I'm not one of them, but perfectly sane people who are interested in the subject. But it does seem like people become nuts after too long in the quest, I guess. I don't know, you know, off the top of my head, I can't think of any perfect examples. But
well, you know, I think part of it, at least with some people, you get this thing, and to a degree, I wouldn't put him in the – he's not nuts. I mean, there's some issues going on there with Moneymaker, but – I think there's a certain – I was just reminded of Moneymaker as you were saying this, that if you get into this, if you've got parent – wait, were you just sighing audibly?
I am, but not because of what you're saying. Because you're saying it, but because of what you're saying.
Is that a Hasidic Jew going behind you right now?
Yes, it probably – yes, wow. It was.
That was cool. People. It's like a Wes Anderson film I'm walking
here. It's exactly like that.
Yeah. And they get into it, and maybe these kind of people, I think maybe three of us, for example, probably fortunate to have good parents, and they accepted whatever we were getting into or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's certain people who, you know, they feel this emotional risk. Well, you know, it feels weird to them to get into it. And then they subconsciously or consciously, to justify them being involved in this stuff. And again, I think it's probably largely unconscious. They, every time they go out, they hear a scream of a Bigfoot. They find part of the print. It's because, hey, look, I'm not wasting my time. This happened. I am, and maybe in Moneymaker's case, I'm making money. Pun intended there, but
I only
you know what I mean?
I think so. I watched a recent episode of Finding Bigfoot. I don't know if it was the last one or not. It probably wasn't.
We can only hope it was the last one.
You mean I meant
like, I mean yeah.
And they went back to Ohio, where Matt had his sighting. And
did you see me in that? I was in that episode.
Were you really?
I was in the town hall. What? Like I made it onto screen like three times. I was so excited.
I didn't. I wasn't. I usually don't scan the crowd for people I know. Okay. But I'll go back and watch that again.
All right. Yeah, rewatch.
I slow down the video, man. I start drawing circles.
Frame by frame.
And actually,
there's Einstein. He's not dead.
I don't think I've seen that entire episode now that I mention it. But anyway, when he goes, so you've seen it, Seth, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when he goes back to the spot where he had his sighting and he starts like relating the event, and Cliff says that he was having like this emotional reaction, you know, but it's like, how is that different than any other reaction that Moneymaker? I mean, he seemed like pretty typical Moneymaker, like frantic and kind of sweaty and red faced.
Yeah.
Well, their size comparison in that episode with Matt's sighting was very absurd. I guess is the word.
In what way? Why did you say that?
Well, because like he's using these branches and kind of he's looking there at this opening in these trees, and that sighting took place how long ago?
Right.
You know, like vegetation and all that changes. I don't know if he's aware of that. So like they ended up deciding that the Bigfoot he saw was like 2 feet taller than he had originally thought.
And yeah. What? Like,
can I ask real quick?
Like 9, 10 feet tall, something like
right.
that.
Right.
What are the specifics?
The specifics were that he was there. He was investigating.
Night?
It was at night, yeah. In fact, they'd been there all night long. It was really, really early in the morning. And he was there was a local dude who had some sightings. There was like this water tank or something. And so Matt was of the opinion that they were sort of traversing this area. And so he was out there with this guy. And they were waiting all night long for a Bigfoot to walk by. And according to Matt, he was stationed by this fence. There's the other dude was a little bit down the road, and this thing walked up towards where he was and didn't know he was there until it was like right there in front of him, and he saw it standing there.
Yeah.
It was
well, see, now this is interesting because if this is the same thing he told me right within a few weeks, if I remember correctly, because we would correspond. I mean, we'd talk on the phone a lot back, that's what, 20 years ago?
Yeah, about that.
He never mentioned anything about, I remember him telling me seeing red eyes, but no, is he saying now that he just blatantly sees
I don't remember. Seth, did he mention the red eyes on the show?
I don't remember.
This is another alleged sighting that I'm mixing up because he told me this thing that he was convinced it was a Bigfoot, but there was no like physical outline seen. He said he saw red eyes.
Well, the timing is right. It was about 20 years ago, and
yeah.
And he said this thing like was standing there and he could see it. Standing there, and it was big and, you know, Bigfooty and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, never heard that one back. And we'd share a lot, you know. Right. But
I will say that that area he was at, Berlin Lake, I went for a hike there about 2 years ago with my wife, and it's really heavily developed. So when they started, they did a night ops there on that episode, and I thought that was odd. I was like, what are they hoping to find?
Yeah, he was creeping around in the woods.
Footage. To fill time.
Yeah. No, that was a different segment. That was one of the worst things I've ever witnessed on that show.
With him standing up on the hill?
It was creepy on a whole new level for that show. He had some lines there, too, that were very awkward.
You also imagine that's not the first time he's done that.
Yeah,
no. He's probably
nightly
stood over people in his ghillie suit and looked down at them doing whatever that is they're doing. So anyway, I sighed because he just seems to be getting more like Matt-like as time goes on, and I don't know what's going to happen there. It's like,
what does he mean? Because I don't watch the show. I've watched one episode. Thought it was horrible. And so is he? But he's getting angrier, like he used to be. Because the thing
that angry. He just again. He was very. He was sort of freely sweating, and it didn't seem like it was warm. No one else seemed to be uncomfortable. He was flushed. His eyes were wide. I mean,
He's back on the smack. Something. That's what you're saying. He's back on.
I'm not making any comments about what he's doing in his free time.
No.
I have to say, when they were here for that town hall meeting, I got to go to that, and my 8-year-old nephew was with us, and pretty much everyone involved with that show was awesome as a person, you know, getting to talk to him. Uh-huh. Even Matt, like, took time with my nephew and was hanging out with him. So I thought I do have to say that. Like, I can't – I find it good hard to talk too badly about them. Yeah. So I don't know. And I also got to talk to Renee for, like, an hour about old early 2000s emo bands. So that was cool.
That's cool. You know, and I also –
You were listening to you when you were eight.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I've said this before on the show, but it's like I don't want to – also about Moneymaker. I don't want to completely paint him with a negative – brush. I mean, I think he genuinely does believe these things. It's just the tactics he's used are questionable at times, putting it mildly.
See, this is that's history that I don't have any knowledge of. I would love to like talk to you guys sometime about stuff like that because it's before my time. As not that I'm that young, because I'm not, but it's before my time of even being interested in the subject. So. I'm just completely not acquainted with that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, in a nutshell, I was going to say, I mean, you have to kind of hand it to Matt in this sense that he was a guy, I think, who saw that in a general sense, which I think Brian and I agree. And I don't know where you stand on this, Seth, if you're a Bigfoot agnostic or you think it probably is real or largely skeptical, but I think, kind of like Meldrum in a sense, Matt genuinely believed, based on this, the general body of anecdotal evidence, which just seems so vast, that there's probably something to it. And so he got involved and said, you know, this is probably a really cool mystery. And he started getting things organized and working hard. He definitely works hard. But again, it's the tactics. It seems like he's not his anger thing has diminished a bit, which is nice to see because he can get pretty nasty with people.
I think that the unfortunate aspect of what's happened with Matt, in my opinion, is that he had helped form something that the world had not seen up to that point, which was this really terrific Bigfoot investigation group, you know, that had actual scientists, like real honest-to-God scientists involved.
Mm.
They weren't involved publicly in many cases, but they were involved.
Yeah.
And he had some really smart people from all over the country.
Leroy Fish.
Yeah, I mean, some really top-notch folks. And he had this thing, I don't know if it was what he meant to create or if it just happened and he found himself with it one day, but he let it be destroyed because he got this idea that he was going to sell these expeditions, and he called them Bigfoot roundups, but before they were sold. And so the true tragedy of Matt Moneymaker is that he had this terrific group. He had media. He had reporters as part of this group. He had scientists as part of this group. These were all a bunch of people who were trying to get to the bottom of this mystery, as we keep calling it. And they may actually have accomplished something, but just when it was sort of at the peak of its power, so to speak, or its influence, he went after the money,
yeah.
And very blatantly so, and did not seem to care that it was destroying the integrity of the group that he had created or helped create.
Yeah.
And so the BFRO now is an ecotourism company. It's a face to his TV appearances. It's really sad because at one point it was something really cool and now it's not, in my opinion.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, usually things like that, decisions like that are usually born of desperation and from whatever he was, maybe, you know, he felt he was money strapped.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't remember, we talked about this on the show once. In my opinion, having met Matt all the way back in 92, I remember telling you he tracked me down literally within 3 days after the thing happened to me on the hill. It was amazing via Danny, don't call me Daniel, or Daniel, don't call me Danny Perez. I lost track of thought. Anyway.
He tracked you down. Matt tracked you down.
Yeah, he tracked me down, and he was into this, and I just forgot what point. It is just sad. It's just sad. I mean, I knew as I got to know him and I hung out a little bit with him, he was definitely a corner cutter. Mm. He was, you know, to be frank, he'd be okay lying about something. He's not a Biscardi. He's not a hoaxer, but that's why I call him, he's a hypester. He takes something, and he'll just – in a very anti-scientific way, oh, hey, blah, 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 blah. And he was big at getting other people involved while he was the man behind the curtain trying to gather data. I thought that was cheesy. Every step's got, you should be the right way to do it, I believe. Right. So in a way, it doesn't surprise me that it led to where he is now. And it could probably even get worse for him because he's traveled, again, just what I've seen, kind of this corrupt path toward what he's trying to get.
Right.
Maybe not fully, but, and I know he's got, like most people, he's got good aspects of him, but it's just it's cheesy. Hmm. I know what you're saying. Anyway, why can't he be perfect like us?
Seriously. I mean, it's not hard.
It is. And just, you know, be in the moment.
It's not hard being perfect. I'm perfect like all day long.
Yeah. I just wake up this way.
Yeah.
Let's see.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give the folks. Yeah. So let's just go into listener questions, and then we can just knife this poor pathetic excuse for a show and get off our lives.
That's pretty good. How long have we been on for? 3 hours?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have none of my usual things going. I don't know how long we've been talking. I'm not 100% sure that we're recording.
As of tomorrow, I will have done 5 separate individual podcasts this week. 8 episodes total, but 5 different podcasts.
You're a machine.
6 days.
You're a machine. Well, why don't we use that little segue to pimp our projects? I don't have a project to pimp. You do.
I do. Go ahead, Steph.
Yeah. Let the guest go first.
Yes.
Everyone knows your project.
They do? Nobody knows.
Let Seth go first.
Oh, yeah. I'm directing a documentary called Minerva Monster, which is about a series of Bigfoot sightings, possible Bigfoot sightings, probable Bigfoot sightings, that took place here in Ohio back in 1978. There was a history of sightings in the same area before and still to this day. And it's a very let me think. We've done so many podcasts this week. I feel like I'm just saying the same crap over and over, so I don't want to repeat myself. You know what? When we got into editing it, we kind of knew what we wanted to do with it before we were editing. But I really, once we got into editing, we made all these very clear decisions to move away from stuff you see in kind of popular entertainment, especially cryptozoological, you know, kind of television and movies. So we're not doing any kind of recreations. There's no narrator.
Right.
We have artists though. We have a couple artists that are contributing kind of illustrations of some of the key events, which will be kind of cool. But we really wanted the stories to be told by the people who were involved in the case. So that's the plan.
Cool.
So tonight actually. On the Facebook page, we're going to post the poster, which I showed you guys earlier.
It's awesome.
So we're going to premiere that tonight. And then tomorrow, the Kickstarter goes live. So cool. We're doing a Kickstarter to fund the production of the DVDs, which isn't that cheap. So cool. So if you're interested in crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, a kind of cool, different type of,
and Tom Biscardi is not involved with this, right?
Biscardi is the executive producer, but we haven't really put his... No, Biscardi's not involved, no.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
That was...
Secret.
Damn it.
Secret producer, Tom Biscardi, with co-producer Todd Standing. And
wow.
Yeah. So just wait till you see the Night Watcher footage. It's halfway through.
It's blockbuster.
So yeah, it's I don't even know like how Kickstarter works because I haven't sent the thing live yet. So I don't know if there's like a specific – if it'll be like kickstarter.com/Minerva Monster. I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
but
they'll send you a link once you get all that. If you have any questions about that,
yes,
feel free to call me. And okay. I can give you details because I've done 4 Kickstarters in a row.
Cool.
And again, a big thanks to Brian. Without Brian, I never would have – I mean I heard of Kickstarter, but he really pushed me to do it. And I'm still to this day. Very thankful, even though he wants to kill a Sasquatch.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing that you know me. It's a real blessing.
It is. It is. Dude, the Kickstarter thing's been awesome.
Kickstarter scared me because I was like, my big fear was that we would get a kind of backlash from people where it'd be like, oh, you're just trying to make money off the subject. But I was like, well, We got to get this thing out there.
See, I think that's kind of bullshit. Of course you're trying to make money off the subject. There's nothing wrong with that. But, yeah. I mean, again, you understand where people's motives are, and you can judge them appropriately.
Plus, it's not charity. You're giving the way the
Right, you're going to get something from it. Right.
You have a tier of rewards.
Right? Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, Brian's already seen the reward levels and stuff. So,
yeah.
Good.
It's actually a darn bargain is what they were. They started hey. More.
Seth.
Oh my God!
No, because you said Todd.
Whatever.
Todd Greenlove and Seth Standing. Seth Standing. That sounds like a porn name. He only does it standing. I'm sorry. I'm his agent. It would be Seth lying down otherwise. I wanted to ask you before I get to my pimping here is about if you've ever seen. Well, first of all, the Minerva Monster is that southeastern Ohio by any chance?
Yeah, I kind of.
Coshocton County.
It's not far from Coshocton County. You'd be right in. It's interesting. The city actually is within three counties, so it's like Carroll, Carroll, Stark, and some Columbiana. Okay. It's within those three counties. So, but it kind of is heading into. I mean, I think most people would call it more northeastern, but it's not far from Coshocton County.
Well, the reason I ask, and I don't know if you've ever seen, this is some of the most interesting footage, I think, that hasn't gotten a lot of popularity, but I recommend if you can ever see this, I don't think he's ever put it online. And this guy kind of will get ragged on by some people because he just puts on it. He's a nice guy. His name's Don Keating. Mm-hmm. In Southeastern, he puts on a Bigfoot annual thing there. A lot of people show up.
Yeah, Seth's been there a few times.
Yeah, he has this footage, which I just find so interesting. There was these sightings at this lake.
Yeah.
And I think as someone who's into video, who does some editing, you should look at this footage because it's kind of like, well, what the hell is that in this video? He goes back to where this, and he just shoots video. The person tells him where this happened, and he shoots video, and he's looking around. Then he looks at the video. It wasn't until 2.5 years later, that is, he was doing a pan of the area. And over about 100 yards away on this road, he was on one road that led to the edge of this pond, and then it intersected with another road. But you can clearly see a light-colored bipedal being go by really fast, like it's walking fast. Right. And Don doesn't even react to it. It's like, but he noticed it later, and you can see that the color on it is consistent from the top of its head down to maybe about just below waistline.
Yeah, I've seen – he did a movie. He actually made a documentary about it called, like, Bigfoot Lake or White Bigfoot documentary. Danny Perez was on it. I feel like you were on it.
Maybe.
I think you were in it for a second, actually,
he
Scott.
He has no recollection.
I'm 100% sure.
I didn't even know he made a movie yet. But anyway, I think that video is really
– It's interesting.
Interesting. It's very interesting because there's another piece of footage. Somebody's walking around, and you see this – And Don is not, in my opinion, I think most – he's not a hoaxer. He's never had that rap. Just a simple dude. And there's another bit of footage that he shot around that area where you see this white person-like thing moving off in the distance. It's just very odd. So I don't know. Maybe some guy hanging around there in a sweatsuit. Who knows? But it's just odd that he went to this place, didn't tell the guy when he was going there, that type. It's just worthy of seeing. Okay,
see, that's an era in Bigfooting that I'm actually interested in because it's that stuff isn't super well documented. That kind of like Daniel Perez, early moneymaker, you were around. And it's like it's this era that's not very well documented, and I haven't been able to find like a ton of information because I'm kind of an information like junkie about that stuff. So, and yeah.
Yeah. God, it feels weird that I was part of an era. Mm-hmm. I'm 94 now. Mm-hmm. Should I pimp my thing now?
What's this era? If you were part of that era, what's this era?
Yeah, what is this?
This is like Finding Bigfoot, Mountain Monsters, Nightmare Town.
When the first Bigfoot show got horrid.
We recorded the first Bigfoot show on December 31st, 2007. Was that part of this era or was that some other era?
That's
that spanned
era.
Eras or?
See, I think it was like maybe 95 up to like – actually, no. It's probably further back. I don't know. I don't know what this era is.
You're just making stuff up. You're drunk.
I'm pulling it out. It's, you know what? It's where I got into Bigfooting and before that. All I care about is when I got into it.
Seth, day one. Minus Seth. So it's plus Seth and minus Seth.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right. AS. after soccer.
So go ahead and pimp.
Oh, pimp. Yes, I'm working, almost done with my third and final Appalachian Trail journey video. Very happy with it. Have about another week of work on it. I'm not going to spoil the ending, whether I finish.
Well, you finished the video or finished?
No, finished the actual trail. Oh, I see. Part of the whole journey. Something happened to me along the way. I don't want to spoil it, the viewers. A physical malady happened to me along the way, but I kept hiking, damn it, and we'll see what happens. But I met a lot, as is usually the case when you're on the AT, met a lot of really cool, interesting people with a lot of interesting stories. There's one Bigfoot-related story that's in the film that's pretty funny.
The pig in the preview, have you eaten that pig yet, or has it been
no.
eaten yet?
No, I think that, as far as I know, that pig is still alive in the backyard in Rangeley, Maine.
All right.
Which, by the way, I like to say real quickly, Maine is an incredibly great, beautiful state. Can't recommend it enough. The hiking's incredibly hard on the Appalachian Trail. And it's very weird as far as Bigfooting goes, because when you're up on these buttes and you look out at Maine, I mean, it's no place in the U.S. where you can see just like no sign of civilization and trees going. And it would be very natural to sit there and go, wow, this is a place that a Sasquatch or a group of Sasquatches could live. Uh-huh. But when you get down off that and you get into the forest, I think the opposite actually happens, because it doesn't have a lot of dense vegetation, as opposed to, let's say, the northwest corner of California, which has a boatload of dense, steeply sloped hills and all that.
Right.
I don't think Maine's a very good candidate for something like a Sasquatch to live in. Not that they couldn't be there, but I think these things need a lot of density. Anyway,
film, I won't go there to look for Bigfoot then.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Unless you
get a total
TV
waste.
Show. I mean, you have to, because you're contracted to have 8 seasons of horseshit. So that film, it's going to be called Flip Flop Flipped: Further Adventures of a Random Nature on the Appalachian Trail. If you do Flip Flop Flipped on YouTube, the trailer's up. It's also up on the Bigfoot Show. It should be out within a month.
Exciting.
Those, yeah. I've seen most of your hiking movies. I actually watched the first one back before I had any sort of like internet presence or had any interest in like interacting with the community because of the Bigfoot Show, because I heard you talk about it, and that was the only Bigfoot podcast I was listening to at that time, and I went and rented it off of Amazon streaming.
Oh, cool. Was it Walk, the PCT one? Or
I think it was. Yeah. No, it was the PCT.
Yeah. Oh, good. So you got to see the story, one of my favorite stories, where Monty Dodge found that print.
Yeah.
That's a really cool story. And
so, Scott,
when
somebody rents one of your movies through Amazon streaming, are you getting like 12 cents or is it like
14 cents?
I get
half.
It gets half of it.
Yeah, you get half, and you can't set they set the price.
Right.
But I look at it this way. Yeah, it does suck, but it's still, you know, look, as I like to tell people, I make just enough money doing these films to still live with my 83-year-old parents. So I try to get as much as I can so I can do the next project, which is, by the way, I think I mentioned on the last show, I'm hoping to go to Iceland this year to walk across Iceland. Maybe an interview with a troll.
I don't know if you said it on the show, but you said it, and you know, the problem is now you've told Vela and he wants to meet you there.
Yeah, but Paul was going to meet me in Spain, and I hope it would be great to see Paul there. But
you're saying he's full of shit.
We still got to do our film, dude. Come on, man.
I got
too much going on.
Okay. So, listener questions. Richard Curtis. Let's do Brandon's first. Brandon Lentz, who would win in a fight, Jeff Meldrum's mustache or Moneymaker's hair?
Meldrum.
No, Moneymaker's hair is epic now. You need to see it. It's like the Dutch boy on crack. It's amazing.
It's like if Kurt Cobain aged. It's awful.
I vote Moneymaker's hair. I think it's going to – walking away, he takes that –
mustache.
The mustache out, no problem at all.
Meldrum's got a very stoic, sort of professorly quality to him.
Sartorial.
That I like.
Yeah.
Scott's got no opinion.
No. I would think, but see, I haven't seen his hair, and based on your description, I think Moneymaker seems, just by density alone, would probably.
Oh, you know, and when he sweeps it back, he uses both hands now because it's so much.
Oh,
he whoops
yeah.
it back, and it's like.
That's just to prove he's from Southern California.
Exactly. Yeah. You can just smell the surfboard on him. Richard Curtis, now I'll get to Richard Curtis. He posted many things, but one of them was things he hates about Bigfoot community. Using the terms squatch as a verb / adjective, going squatching, very squatchy. Hate it. Yeah.
A bitter man.
I think it's fun. You use it ironically. You don't say it because you're serious. I don't. Yeah. Maybe somebody's. You guys see that lady behind me with the stroller? She's walked back and forth now 4 times.
Yeah, you know what? There's a bomb in it.
That's what I was just going to say. There's some sort of video surveillance equipment in that thing.
She's from the FBI.
This is Bigfoot conspiracy territory here. We're heading into this lady.
Lawyer.
If she comes back the other way, I'm going to go out there and tackle her. I'm just going to take her out. Yeah, you'll see me on the video. You'll see me running. It really will be like a Wes Anderson movie.
And then like freeze frame. And then fade to black.
So nobody cares about the squatching thing. Okay. He also doesn't like it when they state things that are fact. That is all supposition.
It's all the whole thing's supposition. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the thing is, he's assuming anybody who's into Bigfoot as believing in all these things. So he himself is the generalizer.
Richard.
Yeah, the generalizer.
Things I hate about listeners of the Bigfoot show. They're all generalizers.
Sounds like a really bad kitchen appliance. I don't know. Use the generalizer. I got nothing.
Tristan North asked, it's her, isn't it? Isn't it?
What?
I'm lost.
Oh, that's what he said. I said, you know, give us questions. And he said, it's her, isn't it? Isn't it? I don't know.
Is that a movie quote or something?
I don't know. You don't know. You know everyone who listens to
this. Is this about Melba?
What? Yeah, exactly. That's Melba's code for I'm really stupid.
Oh, the mysterious guest co-host. He probably thought it was Melba going to be on the show.
Yeah, she's back again. Look.
She did just. She just walked
really?
By you.
Yes.
Yeah. Did she? The other. She went the other direction?
Yeah, and there was a lit fuse coming out of the bassinet. She's gone now.
Mm-hmm. No, I see where she's gone.
Yeah. See the bassinet with no one pushing it that it's time to get down to the desk.
I'm keeping my eye on her. You guys just talk.
This does remind me.
She's coming back.
Have we had a Bigfoot show where we talk about like Bigfoot, this whole Bigfoot conspiracy theory stuff that's like sweeping the internet?
Well, that was one thing somebody wanted to say because it's that show. There she goes again.
I'm leaving.
It's the other Bigfoot show that doesn't call themselves. It's that other podcast you're talking about. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm just talking in general. The hysteria kind of sweeping, the conspiracy stuff kind of sweeping the web.
I think conspiracies are crap.
Yeah.
Almost always.
I like to call that the grouping of mysteries. When people like take UFOs and Bigfoot, well, that's a mystery and that's a mystery and I have no job and I got a C average in high school. They're connected.
All these mysteries. Like this lady walking back and forth.
Yeah, dude.
What does she have to do with UFOs?
She has not glanced in your direction though.
The other thing that's weird is every time she's walked by, she's gained an inch.
She's actually getting closer. It's a perspective thing.
She's just going to be, you're going to turn around, she's going to have no eyes. Like,
she's literally standing, coming back. She's
she'll
coming
be
back.
Standing in the window right behind you.
Conjuring 3.
Jacob Bobrovich.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
Of course.
Clearly, that's a made up name. Mm-hmm. Size, he says. There are reports of 10 to 12 foot tall Bigfoot, but that seems a little excessive. How big do you guys think Sasquatch really is? Do you think people tend to overestimate after a sighting out of shock or fear? Also, shout out to Scott. I'm the Craze fan. He met hiking through Hanover.
Oh, that was the kid when I was at what's the university there in Hanover?
Dartmouth. University of Hanover.
And I was on the phone. I was on the phone talking to you or somebody? And I said something about the Bigfoot show and I hung up and this kid walks out to me and goes, hey, are you Scott Harriet from the Bigfoot show? And I said, no.
of course he said no.
And he said, I heard you say that. And I watched that show. And then, but the weird thing is I saw him like 2 days later. And then I thought he was like.
Conspiracy. He's following you.
He had implanted a chip in my neck.
Does he know the lady with the stroller?
He is the lady in the stroller.
In drag.
Is he in the stroller?
With a camera.
This is going to make
he's
no sense.
I forgot to mention that part.
He's 18 inches high. He's a little person.
Wow. Yeah, so did he have a question? I'm sorry. Did
Jake, 10 to 12 foot tall Bigfoots. How tall are Bigfoots? How big can
possibly, they go? But it's certainly not the norm. Yes, I think people exaggerate because they see something that's strange. I think they have a tendency to do that. And plus, a lot of people are really shitty about estimating sizes of things. A lot of people, not most, but.
Boom, boom, boom. I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think.
12 is pretty damn big, though. 12 feet is huge. Yeah. I don't, I mean, that seems. To me, that would be on the that would be outside the realm of possibility. I don't. I'm not going to go to 12 feet. I might say that.
Dude, the lady with the stroller's back, and she is now 12 feet tall. So
that's weird. she's back. There she is.
Look, I know. She's going back and forth. I don't know.
Dude, did you hire her? That's your daughter in a Wes Anderson outfit.
These are the detriments of a video podcast right here.
Here's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing that there's a crying baby and that it will only not cry when it's in the stroller. So she's walking it back and forth and back and forth trying to keep it from screaming. Hmm. Or she's from the government and she's going to kill us all. One or the other.
Okay.
Monty Davis. Monty Davis. Did you just say Monty Davis? Monty something
Monty
else.
Dodge.
Oh, this is Monty Dodge. Monty Davis.
It's close.
Has Jeff Meldrum irreversibly damaged his reputation by supporting What's His Nuts?
Anybody who supports What's His Nuts, I think, damages their reputation.
Yeah.
A bad ice cream.
Agreed.
And then he says, one more question. Do the Squatches like Better Counting Stars or Love Runs Out of One Republic? I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, Melba Follower. Yes.
I like both of those songs as well, and I would imagine they do.
Oh, those are songs. So it's what the young people are listening to.
Some One Republic. I'm not admitting to listening.
Oh, Love Runs Out.
Love Runs Out. Yeah.
See, and Monty doesn't look young, so I'm surprised he knew that.
When the love runs out.
Nice.
Do they sing that on key?
No.
Okay.
I was singing exactly like they do.
Thomas Kelly Tate. Again, probably a made-up name. How often do you think people are under the influence of alcohol and or drugs when they claim to have a sighting?
99.9%.
I'm just kidding. I would go – well, because the drug problem is bad in the country, I would say somebody's got some form of alcohol or some – not hammered, but something – maybe 25 to 30% of the time. That would be my guess.
I don't get where alcohol and drugs really are that huge of an influence on it. And even if someone is drunk out of their mind or high off their gourd or whatever, how many drugs are there that make you see giant hairy man apes?
Good question.
Let me check my drawer. Hold on.
Oh, jeez, she's back.
I know. I saw her. She snuck in there, didn't she? I'm gonna say that based on the. My only insight into this is the reports that the NAWAC gets. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, none of those people. I mean, I would say it's a very, very small percentage, if any. And I agree with you. I don't know what kind of – except for hallucinogen, right? I mean, like mushrooms or something like that. I don't know how getting drunk is necessarily going to make you see Bigfoot.
I would say this, though. If it's a nighttime sighting, let's say – and I'm not saying this was the case with Matt, but, you know – something at nighttime you are much
nobody
more
was even talking about Matt.
Jeez.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, like Moneymaker's alleged sighting, is you're more prone to you're hearing things. Things sound spookier when it's dark. You might see a form. It's actually nothing alive. It's just it is a tree stump, and the lady is back with the stroller.
Yes, she is. She is again. She's just walking. Just ignore her. This is what she wants.
I can't.
The show is so popular.
We have 12 viewers right now.
What?
12 How? People are watching this now.
Watching what? It's not on – wait a minute.
No, it is. It's on YouTube.
Scott, we've explained twice.
I know, and I went to that link, and it's not
– No, then I posted the link to the Hangout, and the Hangout you have to have an invitation to see, but on YouTube you can see it. And Seth put the YouTube link out, and and now we have 11. So someone's just completely fed up.
Someone's done.
I can't do this. I can't see that thing is so distracting because I see people dropping in and out. And then I'm like, what did we just say that made them leave?
Dude, I told you before though, the amount of viewers that thing tells you have is way off. I know that I've had multiple 40, 50 people watching Ancillary Characters before, and it said two. So
What so do you're they
maybe
see?
We have 1,000. They see us talking. They see
this.
Do they see like what, like one, like you're yes. up, yep. and then
so they see right now. They see that lady walking just over my left ear. Oh,
there's someone in the middle of the road right now. What?
Babies.
No, they always walk in the middle of the road, dude. I don't understand it.
You are living yeah, look, in the oh, neighborhood.
Wait, look, there they are. Is... Yeah.
Yeah.
They always walk in the middle of the road.
Are those, the car. Those are the girls from The Shining.
They could very well be. No, they always walk in the middle of the road. I don't. That we have sidewalks, but they don't use them. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
It's awful. A Yiddish tradition.
It mm-hmm. could be. I'm going to say that's all we're going to talk about on today's show.
Okay.
All right.
I do have one. Oh, I wanted to do one thing because we're video and it's a visual. So if you're listening to this, it's not going to help. But I just got back from Oklahoma. As I said, I just came back from Area X, and I brought two rocks with me that were we found. We checked all of the structures. There's sheds and there's cabins and such. And yes, there she is again. and we found rocks on all but one of the roofs. And I wanted to bring an example. These are two of the rocks that we found. There's this one. Which I would say is probably about the size of a golf ball, but
crow
kind of square.
Crow probably dropped that, right?
Yeah.
A crow. Yeah. Well, ravens yeah. carry rocks. So there was
Cheryl
this one.
Cheryl Crow might have dropped that.
So yeah, that's golf ball sized ish, maybe a little bigger.
Yeah, that's a little
ball.
Bigger. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was this one, that's like the size of
wow.
a Twinkie.
Nice.
We found that on the roof
it's making
of, a,
me hungry.
Of a little trailer. Yeah.
She's back.
So these are. Yeah. I know. She's. I tell
can we get a I'm counter so, up I'm in the corner?
Ding!
Sorry.
Ding!
She's literally gone like 15 by. Times ding. Back and
so anyway, I just wanted to show these rocks. These are the kinds of rocks that we see. It's very unusual for a rock to stick to a roof. Usually they bounce off. So it's led us to a question whether or not the rocks get thrown when we're at there.
Yeah. Why would they do that if you weren't there? That's interesting.
I don't know. I have no idea. Have
they
no
just
clue.
Like the yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
like the sound of it.
Maybe it's a Sasquatch Olympics training ground.
It could be. It
yeah.
could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
hey, yeah. can I quick question about those rocks? So have you gathered the other rocks that have landed before on the roof? I mean, you've got those two right now.
Well, we brought these back literally as a souvenir. We pull them down. We don't save them. I don't know what to do with them. You know, some people say, well, maybe there's DNA on them, but you know, they've been sitting up on a roof.
Yeah.
Or they land on the ground. It just doesn't seem like it seems like a ridiculously contaminated way to collect DNA.
No, I was just thinking if you collected enough of them, maybe there was some similarity amongst the rocks, like a certain type of rock.
Oh, well,
that type of thing.
Yeah. Well,
have you tried marking the rocks yet? Did I ask
you? No, because you – that happened – so after the last show – so Scott doesn't know because he doesn't listen to this. But the last episode of the Bigfoot show was you and me talking about rocks. And you said after we were done recording that in Minerva they had actually marked the rocks.
Yeah.
And did they get them back?
Yeah. Anytime they would mark them with a Sharpie, throw them up, and they would come back almost instantly. But, you know, there's got to be something to gain from marking the rocks.
So I don't know that we've had we've thrown rocks back and forth, you know. We've talked about on the show before the quote unquote rock wars where
those
you know,
same women are
down.
Walking by.
They
just
this
gave Eric Brown
do.
A name of his new book, by the way.
Rock wars, War. Yeah.
Rock wars.
Yeah. Well, he's got to finish whatever horrible thing is going to happen to.
He's an android.
So we've thrown rocks back and forth. I don't know that I to my knowledge, we've not marked them. It's a really interesting idea, and I think we might start doing that because of what you just said happened in Minerva. Mm-hmm. But we've not collected them. An interesting rock-related story. So we showed up. We were there over the MLK weekend, and so it was late on Thursday night, I believe, before MLK, and and we had been there 5 minutes. We were standing around. We were looking at the Overwatch tent, you know, which is that area that we – I know. There she is again.
She stopped.
She's stopping.
She's popping a wheelie or something.
She's
got the baby out.
She pulled her child.
She just pulled the child out.
She just pulled the head
this
off
is it.
The kid.
No. She's going again.
This is – oh.
Anyway – We had arrived and we had been and again I'm sort of giving some things away that will probably show up in future episodes of some podcasts. But anyway, the Overwatch tent had been destroyed. So this is the second year in a row where it had been destroyed. And this one was way up on that platform and it was pulled down in a way that it looks like it was pulled down from below. It's very curious.
No way weather. You couldn't have been weather related wind or
no. I mean it had been there. Well, of course that is. Possible, but the thing had been there like all summer long and looked just about as good on the day that we pulled out of there as it did the day that we put it up. So we show up, and it was up. There was somebody there at the cabin unrelated to the group. There was somebody there around Christmas, New Year's, and it wasn't pulled down then, as far as we know. So that happened in between, and there was no significant weather that had gone through, as far as I know. So could it have been weather? Sure, but none of the summer thunderstorms that rolled through there touched it all summer long, and then all of a sudden it's pulled down in this way. So anyway, don't know. It's curious. Same thing happened last year. Last year was a bit more obvious because it had literally been pushed down from above and crushed, and this one had just been sort of like pulled down, and the leg had been ripped out. The metal had been actually torn. So it was an interesting development. But as we're standing there looking at this, I don't think – literally we hadn't been there 5 minutes, and the little shed next to us had a rock hit it. I mean, we were just standing there, and I could hear it. We heard it like tick the leaves. It was like tick, tick, kind of a sound, and then there was like a 2 or 3 second gap, and then bang, it hit the metal, and either the roof or some metal that's leaning up on the other side of the shed. What happened as soon as we got there? So I don't know.
Have you guys speculated on, given what
Gibbons? No.
How far, given what, you know, those who have claimed to have had the more direct sightings there, or just general Sasquatch stuff, how far one of these things could realistically throw a rock? Like what is it?
Well,
with accuracy.
Right. And that's the tricky bit. I mean, 'cause there's, I think we've talked about on the show before that there's sort of some ledges as you go up the side of the mountain there. And sort of the first ledge is where we speculate, I believe, they are when they throw most of the rocks, because it's really easy to sort of conceal yourself up there. You can't really see from down below, and it takes you so long to get up to that ledge that it's a pretty good spot to hang out.
Any cams ever been put up there?
Yeah, I've put lots of game cams up there, and none of them seem to do anything. So... you can throw a rock from up there and hit the structure. I can't hit the structure from up there. I either will hit a tree, you know, and we have heard that. We've heard rocks hit trees. But I'll either hit a tree or my rock will fall short. I don't have the ability to throw a rock far enough to hit the cabin. So there are some people in the group who can. But again, it's hard to get through the trees. And it's even harder in the summer because you've got leaves and everything else. But that also helps, you know, when they're coming in, because you can hear them ticking against the leaves and the branches and such as they come in. And that's the only reason I knew that rock was about to hit.
Weird.
When it did, when we were just there, because I heard it hit a branch or something on its way in. So it's pretty far. I can't hit it with a rock. I just can't.
How many rocks in the time you've been to Area X have you heard a rock? Clearly a rock hit a roof. I don't know how many structures are there.
Clearly a rock. More times than I can. They're so frequent. They're not like independent events. There are a few that stand out over time, but the sound of rock coming in and striking the roof or some other structure or some piece of metal. Or the ground, you know, that's the one that I have the best recollection of. I was standing there near the fire ring one night, and it was Kathy Strain and Monica Rawlings and myself were there, and a rock landed.
What the heck is?
Yeah, she just did a wheelie. What, sorry,
she just popped a wheelie.
Oh, yeah,
she's doing the pop. I want a wheelie.
She's trying to. I don't know. She's trying to get the kid out of there.
Mysterious baby carriage is the name of this episode.
Yeah. Yes. There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, we were standing, well, I don't remember what we were doing. We were near the fire, and this rock came in, and it landed, hit the ground, and rolled, and Monica and I both saw exactly where it landed. We saw the actual rock on the ground. We saw it come in and bounce and hurt it and looked, and there it was as it came to a rest, so I could walk over to it and pick up the very same rock that just landed, and I threw it back. And that's the most clear and distinctive rock memory, you know, rock throw memory that I have, because I saw the rock. You know, very often you don't see the rock. Very often you just hear it. You don't actually see it. But we've had guys have seen them like bounce off the roof and land on the ground in front of the cabin.
And at that moment at the fire, where were Melba and Scooby-Doo?
Scooby was in the van with the rest of the crew, and okay. Melba, I can't account for her location.
Yeah, Melba, isn't that really her name? Wasn't that her name
No.
I'm sorry. The lady in the background's mesmerizing me.
That's I'm seriously. Me. I'm fascinated.
What was what was the hot one's name?
Velma.
Velma was the one with the sweater.
Velma's the sweater girl.
The lesbian.
Daphne.
Daphne.
The lesbian. Hot one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know is what I read on the internet.
Can I make a suggestion, though? I would pay some sort of monthly subscription fee to watch this video pointed out your window at the sidewalk. So if you want to do kind of a Truman Show
this could be
scenario.
Good.
Where
this
you
is
just,
how we're going to fund future episodes.
Yeah, yeah, set it up there. Watch Stroller Girl.
I don't. Where did
she
go?
She's gone right now.
Hey, Brian, has anybody ever been hit by a rock in Area X?
Yes. It doesn't happen very often. And what I believe is that I know one guy that got hit sort of like on the foot, like it just sort of like hit his foot. But yeah, I believe that there have been a couple of guys that have been hit. You know, Daryl Collier's the guy because he goes through all the reports and writes and, you know, sort of clarifies the after action reports and writes them up. So he has all these things like in his unbelievably detailed encyclopedic memory. So he could tell you exactly who it was and what month it happened and probably the day for that matter. But ooh. I know a couple of guys have been hit, but it always seems that it's happening incidentally, that no one, at least that's my interpretation of it. I don't know that anyone's been hit on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah. And Seth is yawning. So I think that's,
probably yeah,
she's gone. She's gone. So I've,
so now you've lost interest.
I've checked out.
Well, I can just leave this going.
I hope this taped.
Well, I hope it did too. We'll find out. This could be the great lost episode.
We're good.
Cool.
Seth says we're good.
All right, man.
Have faith in Seth. All right. Well, that's going to be it then. Episode 65. Yeah. I did say what day it was at the beginning, right?
Yeah, you did.
I get people telling me they want to hear that. So.
Yeah, I don't want.
Mysterious Stroller.
Mysterious Stroller episode. Okay. Thanks, guys.